Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
We will talk about protecting our pollinators in this half hour with Wisconsin's Agriculture Secretary Ben Bransel. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, September 30th. Secretary Bransel says when you pick a pumpkin or apples or other fruits and veggies from your garden this fall, you should remember to thank a beekeeper and their honeybees. He will tell us about the importance of the honeybee to Wisconsin's agriculture industry and what the state is doing in the battle against the deadly colony collapse disorder, which threatens the honeybee population and a lot of agricultural crops, too. We'll welcome your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Ben Bransel is the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. He wrote a piece called The Buzz About Bees, Let's Protect Our Pollinators. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. You know, I was picking apples this week, and actually I should say I picked up some apples. I didn't actually pick them because it was raining at the time, and I decided I didn't want to pick apples in the rain, but beautiful crop of apples at the Trempealeau County apple orchard that I went to, and you say that that crop would not nearly be as plentiful if it wasn't for the honeybee.
That is very true. Of course, weather has a lot to play into the apple harvest, but I will say that the honeybee is what makes the pollen move from place to place and gets the tree ready to produce that bumper crop of apples.
And the same goes for the pumpkins that we will use for our jack-o'-lanterns this coming month.
Yeah, actually, when you think about it, you don't think about all of the fruits and all the vegetables that rely on the honeybee for the natural needs that they go through in the pollination process. We usually think about honeybees only for flowers in our garden as we see them working around, and we really don't think about some of the fruits that are affected.
Yeah, so give us some idea of how important the honeybee is to Wisconsin's agriculture industry.
Well, the cherry industry in Door County is very valuable for tourism as well as the cherry production, and that's a problem if you don't have the honeybee around. In fact, you could end up losing as much as $10 million worth of its production if the honeybee were not there, and that's a pretty significant decline. The other thing that people might not realize is the honeybee's impact on cranberries. Cranberries have a very significant monetary value to our state. In fact, we were nose to nose with Massachusetts for many years, but because of the quality of our cranberry marshes and the efforts of the growers, we're now number one in the nation. And those cranberry marshes are of proliferating with the help of the honeybee, and if we didn't have the honeybee out there working in the cranberry crop, we might lose about $173 million worth of value.
Yeah, and that would be, you say in this piece, more than 7,000 jobs could be lost if it weren't for the honeybee and doing its job.
Yeah, if you don't have the fruits to harvest, and you don't have the need for employers or employees, either one, to take care of that crop, then we lose all those jobs.
Well, so the honeybee is threatened by this colony collapse disorder. What exactly is that?
Well, in layman's terms, it means that the bees become weak, unable to fully perform all of the activities that take place in the hive. And in some cases, when they're out doing their work, they die and unable to return to the hive. In other cases, it might just diminish the ability of the hive to even function. In visiting with a very good beekeeper, I'm told that hives will have anywhere from 50 to 60,000 bees when they're very, very big and very active. But a beehive that might find itself in trouble through the disorder might only have about 10,000 bees.
Mm-hmm. And do we know what causes colony collapse disorder?
Well, at one time we thought it was a mite. We thought that this little mite that sucks blood from a bee was the problem. And then we thought we had the mite situation figured out. And then other things popped up. So at the current time, we think it's a multiple of factors. We don't think it's any one factor that causes the collapse. We think it might be nutrition. Let me give you an instance of nutrition. For many years, farmers had alfalfa fields that would bloom, and they would bloom before we would get to harvest. And as we perfected our ability to put up higher quality forages, we learned to harvest our alfalfa fields earlier. And so alfalfa is being harvested before the flower even appeared, which took away a nutritional source for the honeybee. And that has happened on a number of crops that we have. Another one is that pesticides are used to eradicate pests in some of our fields. And when we're worried about, let me give you, for instance, last year's soybean crop with the bad weather we had, there was a problem with a bug called spider mite. And the spider mite is very serious to the soybean plant in a weakened state. And so people were spraying in order to take care of spider mites, to eliminate spider mites. Well, if the soybean plant was flowering during the time that the spider mite appeared and the spray was made, if there were honeybees in the area working those flowers, they would be contaminated with the pesticide as well. Then we believe there might be some viruses that are impacting bees at the present time, and we think there might even be parasites. Some have suggested that there is not enough, and this is an unbelievable statement, but in fact some scientists believe this, there is not enough genetic diversity in our bees that our bees are able to withstand natural situations in their environment like they used to.
Boy, the whole host of problems for the poor honeybee.
Yeah. And so not being any one that you can target and put all of your energies forward, there is a variety of approaches that are being attempted.
Well, we'll talk about those approaches and what the state is doing in the battle against colony collapse disorder, and how we might protect our pollinators better. And we'll welcome your questions about the threat to our honeybees and the importance of our honeybees. Are you a beekeeper by any chance? Have you noticed more or less bees around this year? What kinds of effects are you seeing, suspecting a colony collapse disorder has had on your hives? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. What questions do you have about how the state is battling colony collapse disorder? We are talking with Ben Bransel, the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, when you pick up pumpkin or apples or even some of the vegetables from your garden this fall, Our guest in this half hour says, remember to thank our beekeepers and their honeybees. We are talking with the Secretary of the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, Ben Bransel, about the importance of honeybees to Wisconsin's agriculture industry and talking about what the state is doing to battle colony collapse disorder. And we're welcoming your questions, too, and your observations. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, Secretary Bransel, before we talk about some specifics that the state is doing to try to battle colony collapse disorder, let me share this note from Jerry on Facebook, who says, I have noticed more pollinators in my gardens this year. Maybe that is due to my gardens looking better this year. I am also close to making a decision on getting a hive for myself. Probably going to do that next spring. Well, a couple of things, Secretary Bransel. Can you tell us about right now the honeybee situation in Wisconsin? Is it okay this year? Do we have dramatically fewer honeybees this year than we did last year, for example?
No, I think we're okay this year. What I will say is some of our really large honeybee keepers out there move their hives south in the winter and help pollinate other crops. The hives might go to California, might go to Texas, might go to Florida. So this becomes a national issue. Wisconsin can do everything in its power to try to help the pollinators out, but if they're not dealt with appropriately in other parts of the U.S., then we have hives coming back here that are weak. I'm excited to hear that he might like to try his own hive. There's a lot of materials out there, and don't ask me about them because I'm not a beekeeper, but we have three types of beekeepers out there. We call them hobbyists. Those are the ones that have maybe one hive and enjoy working with their bees, and we have a lot of those. We seem to have a few more all the time, and they help out this situation. We have what we call sideliners. Those are people that have several hives, pretty constant. They produce a little bit of honey. They don't really have it as a business for pollination. But then we have the commercial people, and a lot of their effort is towards pollination work. Honey becomes kind of a secondary income form, although valuable income. And the commercial beekeepers are the ones that are really moving the hives around from location to location. So when the cranberry producer needs hives, he contracts with that kind of service. So for someone to see additional honeybees around their garden and appreciate them and think they'd like to get into beekeeping, that's wonderful news.
Well, so, and that does, you say, help the situation if people become hobbyist beekeepers.
Yes, it does. And I have a feeling that his gardening practices, in fact, are probably helping the honeybee out as much as the honeybee is helping him.
But, you know, I talked to a beekeeper earlier this year, I think it was, you know, springtime, and he said that his hives didn't overwinter very well. I think he said he thought he lost 40% of his bees in the wintertime. What do beekeepers do when that happens? They just buy more bees or what?
Well, they can buy more bees. There are ways, as I understand, for them to help the bee colony out and help to stimulate it through artificial feeds that will get them started down the process of building their hive back up. And that does go through cycles from time to time where a colony will get into a weakened state. It may be because they didn't have full stomachs going into the wintertime. Last year's drought may have impacted their nutritional ability, and that brought about a weakened state for the hive.
Mm-hmm. But when you say that we're in relatively good shape when it comes to the honeybee this year. What accounts for that? If the colony collapse disorder is such a threat, did conditions get better? You mentioned that our commercial beekeepers are bringing their hives to Texas and California and other places. Does that somehow help the situation?
Well, it helps. It helps them to keep their hives going as long as they don't transport back and forth with them additional problems. A commercial beekeeper, when leaving the state of Wisconsin, might be found to have a very clean colony, one that we can certify is not having any mites or other kinds of situations that we believe might be a problem. Yet if they go into another part of the U.S., if they go down into Texas and bees work in the state of Texas for a while and pick up mites, and that then causes a problem for that colony, even though it was healthy originally here in the state of Wisconsin. So the beekeepers are very attuned to the problems. Originally, they had no idea what they were looking for when this colony collapse disorder first came out. And then over a period of time with some research by some agriculture research scientists at USDA, some new understandings and some new findings were brought about, and the ability of the beekeeper to start monitoring their own hives improved. And I think all of this knowledge, and with the public's interest now in pollinators, that will even bode better for our beekeepers.
Mm-hmm. So what specifically can Wisconsin do? What can the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection do to make the situation even better? Or what are you doing to try to battle colony collapse disorder?
Well, I think there's several things. I would encourage people that have a real interest in bees and are thinking about beekeeping or what they can do to help protect bees in the garden to use their UW extension persons in their counties. Certainly those individuals, if they don't have the information, because the UW's system is chucked full of valuable information for a variety of needs, will be able to source that for them. The other thing I would encourage beekeepers to do is to list their colonies on a website called DriftWatch. If they put their colonies and the locations of their colonies on DriftWatch, then growers of other crops and cooperatives, before they use any kind of products to control insects or pests, would look at DriftWatch, and they could avoid those areas where bees may be working at a very specific time when they might want to be putting on a product. The other thing I would encourage our farmer listeners and people that are handling pesticides, they are all registered in the state of Wisconsin. We require applicators to go through a testing process and to be knowledgeable in the products that they're using. I would encourage them to increase their sensitivity to pollinators and avoid putting on any kind of product when the flower is exposed. And I would encourage people in their gardens as well, when their flowers are blooming and something's eating the leaf, be very careful of what you're applying so that you can avoid harming the pollinators in your garden.
Mm-hmm.
We register products here in the state of Wisconsin. We have a pesticide registration program. The EPA does as well, but we even double register to make sure that the products will only affect what they're supposed to, and they will not contaminate other environments. That again, I would encourage people to make sure they read labels to avoid harming the pollinators working in their vicinity.
Yeah, and I see here that you also employ someone who can do free hive inspections.
Yes, in fact, the individual, the apiarist in our agency, they inspect hives before they leave the state. Other states require that they have certification of inspection, but they're also available to come out and help you by inspecting your hives that you might have. And you can call our office, 608-224-5015, and we will get you to the individual that you need to talk to.
We have just a minute to go. How did those honeybees do with our cranberry crop this year?
Cranberry crop looks awful good. Harvest is about ready to get into full swing here, and it's looking like a bumper crop year.
Great. And we have plenty of pumpkins, too?
Haven't heard anybody say that there won't be a jack-o'-lantern available for every child and grandchild there is in our state.
Great. And the point in part of your column was that we should all thank a beekeeper and thank a pollinator for all those wonderful fall fruits.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Ben Bransel is the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. His recent commentary is entitled, "The Buzz About Bees? Let's Protect Our Pollinators." And we've provided a link to that piece on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.